say you won't slow down. Rest at this place. Say you don't know how we grew to this kind of place. Knee deep in the mocha, making coffee right.
It's 2 minutes and 38 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of April in the year of our Lord, 2007. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. And here's a little bit of advice from me to you. If in the subject line of your emails today, you have to write the phrase, "Is it too soon?" It's too soon. And you know what I'm talking about.
Sick bastard.
It's 503-733-2970 if you'd like to be part of our telephone conversation today. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your two cents, your what have you. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. That is how you can engage with us today, or again, in a binary fashion. Oh, that's me. That's Mike. I'm sorry about that. If you'd like to email us today, it's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. I won't explicate or explain in any way the emails I'm talking about. And none of them are going to be read today because it is too soon, but they all end this way.
I barely knew words.
And you know what I'm talking about. So, okay. Jeff?
Too soon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Too soon.
Sounder.
Too soon.
Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. This is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It is Tuesday, and welcome to Day 12. We are now just 2 days away. 2 days and about 8 little old hours from Listener Party 10. Emerson History X happening this Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. at Barracuda, 9 Northwest 2nd. No ticket, no cover, no minimum of anything. Just be 21 years of age and be there. That is happening this Thursday. I was here last night. It's not to sing the sad song of me. I am lifeless, and I'm fully aware of this fact. I spent all Friday night playing Guitar Hero 2 with Aaron. So there's no, I am under no illusions that I have any sort of a social life, that I'm any kind of a social butterfly or any other kind of chrysalis-type object. But I was here last night until the wee hours, writing captions. Just creating, because like, when you go through Listener Party 10, which is happening this Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m. at Barracuda, you're going to wander through, and it's going to be sort of set up like a museum. There's going to be some listening booths, so you can listen to audio from the show's past. There's going to be display exhibits. There's going to be items. There's going to be T-shirts, photographs, things you've never seen before, articles about the show, things from our personal collections that you've never seen, photographs taken by listeners. We're going to have a whole one whole section that is nothing but a display of hate mail. That's going to be set up. I don't want to give too much away, but we are going to have another gallery that is just the many stages of Rick's hair. So there's going to be one whole section of it that is just a series of photographs tracing the evolution of my follicles and the tightly wrapped keratin fibers that cover my head over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so. It's got that one. We had these photographs taken. This is probably in 2000, maybe 2000, 2001. We had some guy come and take a whole bunch of photographs, and I think it was just... I think at that point he took photographs of me and Christina and maybe Matt. Maybe. I don't even know. I know that he took a whole bunch of... photographs of me, but I was never even able to use them because I got the photographs taken. They weren't even... You know that Clyde tells that story about his second wedding? His second marriage dissolved before the photos even got back from the photographer. It's like he got married, and I think he spent $14,000 on it. He spent $14,000, which really, you'd think that if you're past your first wedding, like once you're on wedding number two, or God forbid, wedding number three, you'd think that the amount of money you'd be willing to invest in each wedding would go down concomitantly as you went forward. This is a lesson that Clyde just never bothered to learn. So Clyde blew like $14,000 on his second wedding, including, I believe, a cake that went from table to table like a series of bridge-like trellises. Anyway, so he pays $14,000 for the wedding. They got all the photographs. He was divorced before the wedding photographs were even done. I think he'd actually been divorced like 2 weeks. He gets a big package delivered to his house, opens it up, on the occasion of your delightful union. And then there's just a whole bunch of photographs of him and this woman that he is now rendered asunder from. Anyway, so I got all these photographs taken to be, I don't know, probably 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. This guy came in, he took a bunch of professional photographs. About 3 weeks later, I get him back. I get a box of literally, no joke, like 500 press photos. Like those headshots that the kind I gave out in Los Angeles if you're a waiter who desperately wants to do something that isn't a minimum wage job. So I get a bunch of these headshots back, except by that point I had already cut all my hair off, and so they were completely outdated and I never used them for anything. And so they just sit in the basement of my house, moldering away, collecting dust. So we'll have some of those. We'll have a whole gallery that is the exciting history of Rick Emerson's hair. What else? We have George the Skull that's going to be there, the Tina Yather celebrity chair. We have, the cable box. We have a series of photos from the Tim Riley Gun Fest. I think we have, I may be wrong about this, but I don't think so. I think we actually have the very first mention of this program ever in Oregon. I think it was actually in the Oregonian the day that their show launched. I think Pete Schulberg, who was writing for the Oregonians that time, there's a whole column he does about that Ted Danson show, Becker, which was taking the air. And he devoted about 99% of the column inches to this new Ted Danson sitcom, which I'm pretty sure ended up being like the worst thing ever. And then also at the end, there was literally like one sentence, like, also a guy named Rick Emerson comes on the air today. Okay, okay. And that's it. So we've got that. I save all that crap. So that's it. But I was here last night captioning all of this stuff, writing a little pithy commentary. Oh, I've got that groveling letter that Dennis Glasgow at the Fan wrote to us that day that he came in and begged the forgiveness of us and the audience.
I finally got my plastic bag out of Manuel's house. So I haven't gone through it, but I have all
your
my
firing
stuff,
bag?
All my crap that I have when I got fired from 94.7.
Fantastic.
Were you fired from 94.7 the same day you were fired from our show?
No, well, in my happy little mind, before I realized how the media works,
did
I thought
they cruelly
that
drag it out? I miss style.
Well, I thought that, you know, maybe since I decided to go to Channel 6, that that they'd still let me work
that
on you.
That they valued a cross-promotion?
That they'd be happy. They wouldn't exactly tell me, we don't want to see your face in the building anymore.
That they would value the idea that one of their on-air personalities might also be exposed on television every day, thus driving up the number of people listening to their radio station?
That makes no sense, Rick Emerson.
No,
how dare
not.
You?
Why would they want to do that? Why on earth would you want to have the exposure that would come with having one of your DJs be on television?
That was one of the most awful, like, times of my life.
It makes a lot more sense to fire them.
I completely tricked myself into thinking everything was going to work out flawlessly.
No. you're past that now.
I am.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I would like to remind you, as we go through today's program, it is too soon. That's all I'm going to say. Here's what's coming up today. Yes, we will have the obligatory coverage of death and destruction in Virginia. Boy, that guy, look, I realize that we're all doing a lot of instant analysis on this because that's what we in the media do. We rush to judgment and we make snap decisions and we create lasting images about things without really any proper background or facts. So I'm going to be the latest to jump on that bandwagon. And just to say this, is that guy goddamn creepy looking or what? I hate to say this. I don't hate to say this. He's dead. Screw him. He looks exactly like the kind of guy that would kill you. He looks and clear, and apparently was. He looks like my dad used to have a saying for guys. We would see guys sometimes. A guy at a bar, at a store, whatever. The guy next to us at the shopping center. And my dad, who had a kind of a keen sense of people sometimes, would look over. And my dad would sort of elbow me in the ribs. And he would say, you see that guy? That guy over there? Kill you just as soon as look at you. And it was usually true. So it was with whatever this guy's, this Asian guy who killed all these people in Virginia. Nutcase, F him. So we'll have we'll talk about that today. We will count down to Listener Party 10, Emerson History X, which happens 2 days, 7 hours, and 55 minutes from now, featuring a special mystery guest who is being flown in for the occasion. I got a whole stack of guesses here that we'll get to later on from people who are speculating as to the identity of the mystery guest. One of them may be correct. So we'll go through that later on. What else? We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent James Roop in Los Angeles, who's going to give us the exciting answer to this mystery question. Will Paris Hilton be going to jail? And will she be beaten repeatedly while she's there? What else? We'll talk to Amanda Moyer, I believe.
Rachel was supposed to call back.
So we'll find out?
Yeah.
All right. We're attempting to talk to Amanda Moyer from CNN, who's going to talk to us about J.R.R. Tolkien's kid's latest attempt to extort money out of his father's dead body. What else? Lisa Goddard is going to be reporting to us live from Virginia, where all this chaos went down yesterday. Dennis Pitzenberger is going to join us as well. And I say this today, it's not going to be Richard that calls you. It's going to be Rachel. Scotty, just so you know, Rachel from CNN will be calling to confirm that one way or the other. Just so you're aware, apprised, privy to the situation. I say this today, it is pre-cone day. I said that yesterday and it wasn't really true. Today it actually is true. Or is it? It is. It's free cone day at Ben and Jerry's. Normally when I get these press releases from companies, I just ignore these and or shred them. We have a brand new shredder upstairs, by the way. I can shred thousands of things in a single bound. So I got this, though. I will read this one, Ben, because everybody loves free cone day. Portland, Oregon, it says, this is from some guy, some Ben and Jerry's contact in Portland. This press release says, after the crazy weather we've seen nationwide, isn't it nice to know that spring is right around the corner? Spring is, in fact, here. Way to be honest. Spring is right around the corner. Your Portland Ben & Jerry's has been hard at work preparing blah, 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 blah. Global, this is the part you care about, Global Free Cone Day. Today, Tuesday, April 17th. So I guess the deal is, I met a guy last year who literally, it was something like 14, 19, something like that. Nearly 20, I think he just got on a bus and just went from location to location all day. Anyway, so today you go by Ben and Jerry's, they'll give you some free fat in a cup. It's fantastic. Whatever, I would urge you, by the way, to avoid that cinnamon bun ice cream thing they have on now. It's just vile. God love Ben and Jerry's, but boy, it's just repellent. It's just like lard-filled dreck. It's just terrible. You go for that Stephen Colbert Americone dream. That's an ice cream. Fantastic. All right. What else? Well, I think that's pretty much it. We have some other things that we'll get to here in just a skosh, but that's sort of a broad overview. That's a broad, sweeping analysis of the things that we're going to address on today's program. It is 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon Y. Hello there.
Hello.
I'm sorry, I'm sorting through these. Now everybody is captioning their email too soon at the top. Dicks. Now I have to sort through everything. Thanks for that. Appreciate that.
And don't inadvertently read something really bad.
No, I'm not going to do that. That's what that 10-second delay button is for. And how are you today?
I'm good. I went to a really awesome show last night, so that was fun.
All right, fantastic. And have you seen... I gave you a copy of the Listener Party 10 poster.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, how great is that?
I can't believe it's been 2 days.
Yeah, it's 2 days, 7 hours, 46 minutes from now. From now, Listener Party 10. So we listen for that.
I don't know what I'm going to wear. At least you have an outfit now.
I do. And I would like to thank you for that. So Sarah and I, this is what we do. And I'm so glad that, you know, my wife is so tolerant.
I can't believe people think that we're weird. I don't think it's weird.
My wife is so tolerant and understanding that my wife, God bless her, she's aware that she doesn't know how to dress me any better than I know how to dress me. And so she is totally zen with the fact that sometimes a man has needs. And those needs...
Don't make it sound like that.
I have to now. It's too late. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, a man has needs, and those needs can't be met by just one woman. And so, sometimes, a sort of specialized need...
Will you stop?
Sometimes, a very certain and specific need has to be addressed by somebody outside the primary relationship. That's all I'm saying. And I think we all know what I'm talking about.
You got a really cool shirt.
So I got a shirt yesterday. Thank you. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
You caused me to do this. The words of the campus killer and a chilling note he left behind. He's rallying against rich kids, debauchery, and deceitful charlatans on campus, according to his own writings. The South Korean immigrant was a senior at Virginia Tech, a loner who lived in a dorm. He was an English major whose writings were so disturbing, he was sent to the school's counseling service. He purchased his first gun on the 13th of last month, the second last week.
All right, so there you go. So we'll get to all of that. Lisa got it, I'm pretty sure, is in the Virginia. Anyway, so she'll have, I'm sorry, just sorting through all of these. So she will have kind of the latest on that. It's all just very disturbing and depressing and whatever, but we'll sort of. And of course, I was looking at the Drudge Report this morning, and I can't believe that they actually rolled out the phrase, he was a loner and quiet. And I think one of the witnesses actually said that, quote, he kept to himself. So we'll have the obligatory coverage of that later on. We'll also have Scotty J's Top 5, which is coming up later on today. We'll have your phone calls, your comments, and all of that. Before we do anything else, let's...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to Jack Squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Now, welcome to the Rick Emerson Show. Scotty J, our intrepid PA. Why, hello there, Scotty. How are you today?
Doing great. Good morning.
Are you hungover today?
No.
All right. Are you
but
sure?
I do feel tired.
Really?
Yes, I was up till 3.
What were you up till 3 o'clock doing?
Perusing music.
And why is that, Scotty?
Because, man, I'm a pro.
And so you were perusing music for what? Just for your own personal library?
Pretty much.
Was this for the party?
Maybe.
Let me ask you this.
You don't have to lie.
Let me ask you this. On the classic 1 to 10 scale, exactly how unnerved and terrified would you say you are?
I'm excited, actually. And
are you channeling your apprehension into anticipation?
Sure. Okay. I mean, no, it is exciting. I just want to make sure that I do this for every event. I get a folder going with songs that make sense for that event.
Right.
And that's what I was doing.
All right.
And I'm barely cracking the... You know.
All right, so you are creating a library of music which you think will please the Rick Emerson faithful at the listener party on Thursday.
Yes.
All right, fantastic. All right, so yesterday we did a little brief overview. We took the audience's temperature. We got their pulse on things you should not play.
Yeah, not a one of those songs did I have intentions of playing anyway, so.
All right, fantastic. Somebody asked me yesterday, and I didn't have the answer to this, how it is that you deal with hecklers if you have been heckled at DJ events?
I don't know. I try to heckle with them and joke with them, and, you know, I like everybody whether they like me or not, so, you know, we'll make fun out of it. If they say I suck, I'll get this side of the room saying I suck and that side of the room saying I suck, and we'll have a little chant going, and I'll get the it'll set the beat, right?
Sometimes I just want to hug him.
Really? That's the saddest method for dealing with hecklers I've ever heard in my life.
And it's totally a lie,
so
too.
Let's all chant about how I suck.
It's a lie, too.
Seriously, doesn't work,
no,
Scotty.
I mean, I don't get heckled that much, but if somebody should feel like heckling me, I mean, more power to you.
You're just so sad sometimes. Really, I just want to take you home and give you a bowl of soup. Really, you know what I mean? You're just sort of like a cat that's been found out in the rain late at night sometimes. It really is true.
Been kicked in the teeth a couple times.
It's just sad. Is Mrs. J going to be at the listener party?
Yes.
Well, fantastic. Who's watching the children?
I'm not really sure yet. I was hoping you would, Sarah.
Slightly older children he found down the street.
It'll be a good experience for you.
All right, fantastic. Does she often come to see your DJ events?
A couple times.
The audience would be respectful to you in the presence of your wife, I'm sure.
Well, that's good.
All right. Okay. Hey, I'm going to say, the real reason I brought you in here, by the way, was to ask you about this Alice Cooper thing.
Yes.
How's that coming?
To me, it sounds like it's moving forward, because they asked me what particular time would you like to speak with him on.
And you said what?
On this particular Friday. And is it
this Friday?
No, on the particular date. The particular Friday.
All right,
date.
So here's the thing. So Alice Cooper has been on my... I have interviewed a lot of people over the years, but there's some people that I've never been able to interview. There's some people that I have desired. I'm just going to... I'll put it this way. There's a short list of people that I have to interview before I die. And when I die, you know, when I interview them, then I can die happy, when the list is all taken care of. And right now, it's not a very long list. I mean, the list is, you know, it's fairly small at this point. But Alice Cooper is on that list. And so... I guess what I'm saying is that if you make any sort of a mess of this, we'll have you killed.
Right, and on the flip side, there's still a Crown bottle waiting out there for me, I believe.
Is there? Did I promise to buy you a Crown bottle?
You did.
Well,
I don't know if that.
No,
thing,
no, that's
I don't know
because
if it
you
ended.
Screwed it up. No. You're completely revising this. When Alice came to town last time, he was at Clark County, I think, last year. Isn't that right? Didn't he come to the Clark County Amphitheater?
Yes.
Because I'd just seen him twice. I'd just seen him in L.A. and I'd seen him at the Roseland. And I offered to buy you a bottle of whatever it was you drank, which is sort of my standing payment to people. I offered to buy you a bottle of whatever it was because you drank if you were able to get that taken care of, and then you failed me. You didn't make it happen.
Right, but I didn't know there was a deadline.
What's the deadline? The deadline is when he left town.
I got to get you to interview before you die, right?
So, well, you got to do this. I'm just saying, this is, they said, they came to us. They sent us a one sheet saying, would you like to interview Alice Cooper about his golf book that he has just published?
Have you done this yet, Scotty?
Yes.
All right,
there's work behind that. Whether they send it to you or not, you got to fight through the crowds because everybody wants to talk to them.
I'm saying this isn't you cold calling a guest out of the blue and leaving a phone message and just saying, hey, why don't you get back to me because we'd love to interview you. We got a press release from Alice Cooper's people, and it said Alice is going to be current. He's going to be promoting his book. He's got this book called Golf Monster or whatever the hell it's called. You know, it's just an excuse to talk to him, but he's out there pimping the fact that he's a golf nut. You know, please call this number and schedule your interview time.
Yes,
so this is the best shot you're ever going
to
have.
Right. But I did have to smooth it over a little bit because the guy goes, as you can understand, we have an overwhelming response. And
Your job, Scotty, is to cut through the clutter.
I did.
Didn't you get people that tried to, you know, when you were working in real estate, you had people who didn't necessarily want to pay the price, and you had to work them, right? You had to mold them and manipulate them into doing what you wanted.
I actually worked in people. I sold computer program time.
All right. I'm just saying you can't screw this up.
No, I won't.
All right. Thank you. Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen. I'll read this one final observation, and then we'll take a break here. Later on in the hour, I believe we're going to talk to Amanda Moyer from CNN. We got Tim Riley, the AM 970 New News Hour coming up. Also, the hunt for the worst story ever. And by the way, I would like to thank listener David, as well as our own graphics person, Bridget Livergood, who works upstairs, who created, I'm holding now in my hands, the official poster for Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, which is going to be happening just two short days from now. 2 days, 7 hours, about 42 minutes. I'm holding in my hand the poster for this, and I got to say, and this is no disrespect to anybody in the past, anything that we've had, this may be the greatest party logo we've ever had. And I don't mean to knock anybody who's created anything for previous parties. I'm just saying this one really is, it really is a confluence of all things great. This really does look, it's amazing. I mean, it's really jaw-dropping. So you'll see this. You'll see this on display there, as well as a cast of thousands, the mystery guest, and so forth. My final observation is just speaking of, and this is to bookend the Alice Cooper thing, because we got this Alice Cooper press release where they were like, they were beseeching us to talk to him about his golf book. I then got this, and I swear to God this is real. This is the sort of thing that we get on a daily basis, and I know Tim gets a lot of these too, where people will just go through and they will pull the entire email database or phone database for every radio station in the country, and they will mass mail these press releases asking you to interview some dirtbag author for something. So we got this. This is a real press release I got. It is, and I'm quoting now, a story about how a reincarnated dog saved his owner's life. A true story, it says. This is from Linda Austin at some press company. Rick, it says, can a reincarnated dog bring hope and renewed life to an owner suffering from multiple tragedies? That's what Linda Austin, now a well-known writer on dog spirituality, discovered when her dog, a miniature schnauzer, return to her. Listen to this. Listen to how simultaneously ludicrous and depressing the story is. This is an author who wants me to interview someone about a book that she claims is real. She discovered when her dog, a miniature schnauzer, returned to her when she was suffering from a debilitating depression due to a variety of loss, including her mother's death, a double mastectomy, the loss of her husband of 18 years, the loss of two beloved dogs within 5 weeks of each other, her father's death, and the close of her business. Though she got a new puppy, her heart remained blue. But as she struggled to care for the puppy, she discovered that her dog, Maxwell, was reincarnated. Which led to the
puppy... As what? Is the dog, or the husband, or the father?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Which led to the publication of her book, Heavenly Paws. A beloved dog is reborn, which not only saved her from the deepest despair, but has inspired countless others. She can answer such questions as, Do dogs go to heaven? Do dog spirits visit us? Do dogs reincarnate? Apparently, it's received thousands and thousands of positive reviews from talk show hosts across the country. Apparently, Ernie and Patty Weckbaugh who apparently hosts some gripping talk radio program in somewhere in Des Moines, think it's a heart-rending story of life and hope. So, there you go. So there's that. Oh, and I don't have the other thing I was going to read. Okay, well, we should break here. We'll break, we'll come back, and around the corner, Sarah, do you know who's, and don't go looking this up. Do you know who's playing at Rock and Roll Pizza?
No.
In just a couple of weeks?
No.
All right. Well, don't look it up, and if anybody emails you about it, don't read it. I'm going to quiz you when we get back. We'll see if you can guess. All right. You stay there. It's 503-733-2970, and we will have Amanda Moyer around the corner to talk about the new J.R.R. Tolkien book as well. Tim Riley at noon. More of your phone calls. All of that coming up. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay right there. Rick Emerson Radio Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, Scotty J is your Buster Bluth. You know it's true. At least he has both his hands for now. That's true. All right. In just a few minutes, I'll read this thing about, well, there's a letter from the past that addresses something that's happening at the listener party. I'll get this, well, we'll talk about this musical artist who's coming to town as well. 503-733-2970. Tim Riley at noon and so forth. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. CNN radio correspondent broadcasting from the CNN Center in Atlanta, Amanda Moyer. Hey, Amanda, how you doing?
Hi, good. How are you guys today?
I am, I'm dandy. Now, you have to forgive my ignorance. I'm not a very bright man. Now, have we had you on the program before?
Once for Hurricane Katrina.
A long time ago. Okay, all right. It's just, it's sort of a rotating wheel of journalists down there now. There's CNN, every time I pick up the CNN prep sheet, they're just throwing names at me that I've never seen before. So is there some sort of a hiring spree happening at CNN? Is it a boom time down there?
No, I guess just different people covering stories. Ed and I are CNN's national correspondents.
All right, okay. I see. And is Ed, here's the thing. Whenever I don't talk to Ed, and there's no disrespect to you, but I'm just saying, Ed is just, I'm a creature of habit, and Ed is a guy that we've talked to a lot. Whenever Ed is gone or on vacation or he's on assignment, whenever he's not on the clock, I always just picture him sitting on the front steps of some sort of southern mansion in like a white linen suit hoisting a mint julep into the air. I don't really know what Ed does when he's not there, but that I sort of picture him looking like Richard Attenborough in Jurassic Park with sort of a cane and just sort of welcome to McCarthy Island and just you know, and just sort of greeting us all and giving us mixed drinks of some kind.
Well, I think he's an avid golfer.
Is that true, really?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me do two things. And before we get to this business of the Tolkien book, which is the real reason I called you, because I'm a nerd, I have a question about this. Now, part of this doesn't really affect us. There's this business about the taxpayers. I'll just read this off the press sheet. It says, taxpayers in the Northeast who are affected by the, and it's spelled this way, NOR-EASTER. Is that Nor'easter?
Nor'easter, yeah.
Please to be explaining what a Nor'easter is.
A Nor'easter is a giant storm that hits with the cold. It would have been a hurricane, probably, if in the warmer weather. It's just a massive storm that causes a lot of damage, wind, rain, lots of problems.
So this is really just wind. So this is just people who are unable to get to the post office because of wind.
No, there's rain and there's snow, too. I mean,
all right.
It's bad.
I guess my question on this is, it says, may file their federal tax returns up until April 19th, 2 days beyond the original deadline, the IRS announced Monday evening. Now, I've lost track of when the deadline is. I thought the deadline, maybe I'm just not all that smart again, but I thought the deadline was April 15th. When is it that I'm supposed to have my taxes done by?
Okay, well, the deadline most years is April 15th. This year it's special because April 15th fell on a Sunday. And then Monday, April 16th, is a holiday in some states, so they moved it to April 17th. So you need to have your taxes done by 11:59 tonight.
So now, is this the thing? Does CNN have you or perhaps one of your fellow correspondents doing that thing where you stand outside a post office and you interview a bunch of mouth breathers as they come by to try to get their tax returns in at the very last moment?
Not today, but I think we did that before. So
so. Somebody has made the observation. I forget who it was. I was listening to somebody last night who was making the observation that that is sort of a radio shtick that seems to be going by the wayside as more and more people are just filing online. There used to, it used to be an easy way to get overtime as a radio personality, that every April 15th they would just send you in the station van down there with like a pot of bad coffee and a crackly microphone just to interview a bunch of gum chewers who were coming by who'd put off their tax filing to the absolute last minute.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk about this J.R.R. Tolkien book. So this, and we have the geekiest of audiences. I mean, just nerds for miles. So I swear to God, this is what it says on the prep sheet. It says, J.R.R. Tolkien began writing The Children of Húrin 99 years ago, abandoning it and then taking it up again repeatedly throughout his life. So is this, to what extent is this actually written by him, and to what extent is this just a cash grab by his family because they've got a new swimming pool that they want to install somewhere?
Well, it was started back in 1918, and apparently he worked on it throughout his life, like you said, but he never finished it. And what his son did was he put together all kinds of different works that he had started, and that he used the same publisher that he had used for The Hobbit, because they were familiar with the way he wrote and what his goal was for the actual series. Because it started out, and it was it was supposed to be like 600 pages or something, and it was supposed to be this big Middle Earth novel that was supposed to set a tone. And he just never got through it, and, you know, I mean, he's been dead for a long time. The last book, the last Tolkien book that was published was The Silmarillion, and that was in 1977, and that, too, was posthumously.
Now, is this going to be one of those, like, Tupac Shakur things where just every word, every scrap of paper that Tolkien ever wrote is eventually going to be revised by somebody in his family and just shoved out under a title?
Well, it could be, because I was looking around, and there's, like, this whole Tolkien society. And they said there could be another book in the future, but it would be a while.
All right, excellent. All right, Amanda Moyer, CNN Center Atlanta, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk to you again in the future, I'm sure.
Sure.
Thank you, Amanda. There you go. That's Amanda Moyer. Boy, she didn't care for me at all. She didn't like me at all.
That was fine.
Not one tiny little bit. It's not the show so much that you didn't like me. It was just that all of my jokes were just falling flat. You know what it was?
You can only try so hard. I know.
No,
it wasn't your fault.
And I try really hard. Rick Emerson gives. Rick Emerson gives and gives. He goes the extra mile. Rick Emerson...
Please don't talk about yourself in the third
person. No, but it's true. I'm going to start doing... At some point in the future, maybe not now. At some point in the future, I'm going to have the listeners... I'm going to set up like a spot, like an instant bank of listener reactions, and they're going to rate how the CNN correspondents that are new interact with us. Sort of like, you know, when you're doing like an athletic thing, like you're at the Olympics, everybody holds up the signs and say like 8, 9.5, 4, 10. I give her sixes across the board. I mean, she was certainly competent, but she didn't really seem to. There was no alley to my oop. No roll to my pick. That's all I'm saying. You know what it was with Amanda Moyer just now, at the risk of overanalyzing this? It was as though I was just throwing a half-inflated basketball across the gymnasium floor. And it would just sort of hit the ground and just go, and then just sort of stay there. Well, whatever. The final word on this, as it always does, comes to us from a listener, Rick, about J.R.R. Tolkien and the Children of Húrin. This will make me sound like a huge nerd, he says, but that being said, The Children of Húrin is not written by Christopher Tolkien, he's merely the editor. Uh-huh. He performed as editor on The Lord of the Rings, The Silmarillion, and The History of Middle-earth, which is the bulk of Tolkien's work. From my impression, it's more of a scholastic research exercise that puts in notes and comments about J.R.R. Tolkien's work, not a... This is a distinction that only our audience would draw, by the way. He says he believes this, quote, new J.R.R. Tolkien book is a scholastic exercise and not a corpse raping. Thanks for making that clear, sir. J.R.R. sold the rights to the movies to another company, which owns all the licensing to The Lord of the Rings. Christopher Tolkien and the Tolkien estate own the rights. Boy, you want to talk about just a guy who won the genetic lottery. You know what I mean? You just talk about a guy who is Ringo Starr once said about joining the Beatles, but he just won the pools. You know what I mean? Just by dint of the right sperm hitting the right egg, that guy is set for life. What do you do when you're Christopher Tolkien? Do you just sit around and I mean, are you like, what's his name, Santa's rocket sled, that Hugh Grant guy in About a Boy? You just sit around and, well, what are you going to do today, Christopher? Well, I'm going to look at the calendar.
Santa's super sleigh.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
What are you going to do today, Christopher Tolkien? Well, I'm going to sit around and look at the calendar and count down how many days until Dad's next royalty check arrives. I mean, what does your life consist of? It must be sad. It's got to be the best and the worst of things to be the independently wealthy kid of some celebrity. Because on the one hand, you're never going to have to work. I don't even know which I would choose. I'd probably choose the wealthy and never working thing. You're never going to have to get a job of your own.
You'd have all the time for Guitar Hero.
Exactly. That's totally. Well, like, I make that time now and I've got a job. But on the other hand, it's like no matter what that guy ever does. It's like, who did I see interviewed the other day on television? Like, Bela Lugosi Jr. or some crap. He was like Bela Lugosi's kid. And that's all anybody's ever going to ask him about. That guy, really, unless he just cures cancer, that guy is never, ever, ever going to be asked about anything that doesn't start with the phrase, so, you're dead. I mean, that's it. Not even. Christopher Tolkien and the Tolkien Estate owned the rights to The Hobbit and to the more historical pieces of Middle-earth. That's why you haven't seen a big-budget Hobbit movie, which would truly be a corpse raping. All right. Thank you for that, sir. I'm going to try to work in it. Bless you. I'm going to try to work in that phrase as much as possible. All right. I'm just kidding. All of these emails about Amanda. All right. Real quickly, let me read a few of these emails, and then we might do this hunt for the worst story ever before we break and come back with the new news hour. This email is from Jerry. Rick, do you remember me? This is because of Listener Party 10, which is coming up just 2 days from now. 2 days and 7 hours and 15 minutes from now. Says, do you remember me? I'm the guy who came in a few years ago to donate my big trunk of pornography to the show. Yes, I do. You were there, right?
Yes, I was.
I had a big steamer trunk.
That's really gross.
Maybe not a steamer. That's the wrong way to put it. A footlocker full of pornography. And it was all VHS, which is why I didn't take it home with me. He says, I live and work in California now, but I catch the downloads on the website from time to time. I was listening to Friday's show, and you were talking about memorabilia that's going to be at Listener Party 10. I think it'd be great if you had the trunk there. Even though I won't be there, I would love to know that the trunk of porn lives on, bringing joy to all those who encounter it. See you sometime, Jerry. Jerry was a guy, and I don't even really remember how this happened, but Jerry was a guy who called the show. Most of the great... I was writing the caption for George the Skull yesterday, and most of the great artifacts that have been given to us, they don't really come out of anywhere. There's really no reason. There's really no impetus for a lot of these. Like, the skull was just that guy, David, who just called somebody. He's like, I got a human skull. Do you want one? And I said, well, sure. And then he just came and he dropped it off, and that was that. Same with this guy, Jerry, in this trunk of pornography. A guy called up, and he's like, I got this whole footlocker full of porn. My wife is making me get rid of it. Do you guys want it? And, of course, who am I to turn down free pornography? So the guy lugs it on down to this, and literally, I mean, it was huge. It was the biggest footlocker I've ever seen in my life. And it was, there used to be.
And it was packed full of VHS and DVD. And
no, it was all VHS, or I would have taken some of it.
But there weren't any DVDs?
No, it was all VHS. That's why it all went, do you remember who it went home with?
Matt
Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
Probably still sitting in the middle of his living room, covered in Toby Keith CDs and Skull. But the guy, I mean, there used to be this commercial that said, fill it to the rim with brim. Well, this was filled to the rim with porn. Just every kind of pornography you could possibly imagine. And then the entire Foot Locker was covered in Garbage Pail Kid stickers for some reason. So we left it sitting around. There was a simpler time, too, because this was at Fisher Broadcasting, where they didn't care about anything. They didn't care about rules, regulations, the law. I mean, I loved working at Fisher, but goddamn. The idea that now in a workplace, I mean radio station or not, the idea that in a mixed gender workplace I could just have a huge steamer trunk of pornography just sitting around, and I think at a certain point people would sort of paw through it and they would take some of their favorite items from the trunk and they would end up sort of scattered around the room. You'd come in on a Monday and you'd figure out that's how the weekenders had been amusing themselves over a long Saturday and Sunday night board hopping the Doug Steffen show. I mean, the idea that you could have just a big trunk of porn at a workplace is, that's from a simpler bygone era. Not unlike the era.
We're still allowed to look at porn, aren't we?
I suppose you can't just leave it laying around the room anymore. That's not a thing you're allowed to do. Anyway, so the answer is that went home with Matt Peterson. I don't know if that's going to be on display at the listener party or not. I'll have to ask Matt if he wants to bring it down. The other thing, and people have asked me about this, at the top of the show we played that Starbucks song, We Built the Starbucks. I got to say, And I hate to say this, I don't like to say this any more than you like to hear it, friends and neighbors and children of all ages, is that I don't have, let me put it this way, let me revise. I cannot locate in my possessions the Green Apron book from the Starbucks song. Now, if you remember, we started playing that Starbucks song, I don't know, about a year ago. Exactly. We started playing that about a year ago because somebody had sent it to us online, and it was a song that had been played at a Starbucks corporate retreat. And we immediately identified it as the best/worst thing ever. But they reference, there's this line where they say, live in the ways of being in the Green Apron book. And we talked about the Green Apron book at length, and nobody knew what it was. Nobody could identify, nobody could clarify what it was for me. And then I swear to God, just by sheer and total absolute coincidence, about, I don't know, 2 weeks after we started playing the song, I'm walking home. I had taken the bus home, I think, that day, and I was walking home, and I swear to Christ, I found a Green Apron book sitting in a Safeway parking lot. And I think it's because there was a Starbucks.
I believe you, but it still sounds pretty fishy. It's pretty random.
It really was like, now, I do believe that the divine hand of God came down and put it in front of me, because there's no other explanation. I was walking through a Safeway, and I found one of the Green Apron books in the parking lot. Now, the sad sort of coda to this is that I've subsequently lost it. I don't know where it is. I mean, I'm sure it's around somewhere. I mean, I'm sure that I'll probably find it next week, next month, 2 years from now, at some point when it's too late to do me any good. I have no idea where the Green Apron book went. So if you are a Starbucks employee, or if you know somebody who is, if you're able to round up a Green Apron book, and you're going to drop that off here, we've sort of officially closed the submission for items for Rick Emerson Listener Party 10, but if you have a copy of the Green Apron book and you can drop it off, that would be fantastic, and we will display that. If somebody has one of those, we would love to have that. All right, what else do I have here? Oh, this is my final thing, and then we'll probably break, and we'll come back with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. I don't think we'll have time to do the hunt for the worst story ever here. All right, Sarah. Who do you suppose is coming to, and again, I don't want to knock this as a venue.
I'm not good at this guessing game. You get mad at me every time.
I don't get mad. I don't get mad at you. When we play 20 questions?
Yes, because I'm not good at it.
Well, that's because you guess stupidly. No, see, that was ironic. See, I was just kidding right there. So I want to say, first of all, I'm not trying to knock Rock and Roll Pizza. It's a nice venue. I've seen some local bands there.
I've seen the outside.
There.
Have you been on the inside?
Yeah. I've been on the inside. I mean,
that's pretty cool.
It's a cozy venue. I mean, even the winners, call it what it is. I mean, it's not a big place. It's kind of, they do have fine pizza. I've seen you know, basically some bands that, you know, I know.
Man,
people.
I had a piece of pizza from It's a Beautiful Pizza the other day. Mm-hmm. It was really good.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I had some of that at Oasis the other day, and the Oasis pizza is great because you can actually feel your ass expanding. I mean, just like you can feel your heart clogging. Anyway, so Rock and Roll Pizza, and I will say this, in all sincerity, it's up at 11140. It's way up there. It's up there at 11,140 Southeast Powell. Yeah, 114th and Powell. It's a fine place. It is a cozy venue. It is an intimate venue. Not a place that holds a lot of people. And again, I don't mean to knock it. I saw my friends on Last Stand there. I've seen my friends in Puffer play there. It's not
a
big place.
Yeah, a bunch of bands that have a lot of shows there.
It is for perhaps a band that is maybe starting out or does not necessarily have the draw power that perhaps a larger, more established act would have. Who do you suppose is playing there on Friday, June 15th, Sarah?
Friday, June 15th.
Begin guessing now.
All right, band or solo performer?
Solo performer.
Mike Ness?
No.
Oh, dude.
No, you're thinking way too big.
Way too big?
You're thinking way too cool.
I kind of wanted to get that one out of the way.
No. No, because even at his, I mean, look, again, I don't mean to knock the venue or the bands I know who played there, but I mean, they're the Mike Nesses of the world, okay. And then they're not. He's way too big to play there.
All right. Well, I know that he is. That's why, because you're making such a big deal out of this. I thought maybe it was something way other. I don't know, somebody who's been recently famous?
Yes.
Xander WK?
No.
So it's, okay, let me reestablish the recently famous. So
you're freaking out. Take a breath.
No, I just don't know.
It's a solo performer.
I don't like the pressure.
Recently famous. Playing at Rock and Roll Pizza.
Recently famous solo performer. Can you give me a hint?
Male.
Okay, well, I already knew that.
let's see. Recent famous male solo performer. Let's see. Canadian.
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 This is very frustrating.
It's gripping, I'm sure. The irony is, this is exactly the sort of thing that, I mean, and I don't mean, I'm not doing this by design, but this is exactly the sort of stupid thing that keeps people listening. Because this is the sort of crap that I listen to. Like, I'll be driving along in the car listening to some talk show, and Don and Mike will be doing something like this, where Don is like, where they're playing, you know, mystery guest or something, you know, or like, you know, who's the mystery phone interview. And I'll sit there like a moron in my car for 20 minutes while I'm late for an appointment listening to Don and Mike.
So Canadian... You recently famous.
What? We've done this so many times. I'm not saying you have to know who it is right now, but you're such a bad guesser. Okay, please, someone to be helping Sarah guess. You don't call up and try to directly guess who it is. And if you know who it is, don't call up and spoil it.
So do they have to be yes or no answers?
No. How many times have we done this? All right. So
there's music play on like...
You ask narrowing questions. With specific closed-ended answers.
I'm ready, baby. Let's do it.
All right. So, go.
Okay. So, would he rather be, would this person's music play on 94.7 more or KUFO?
That's a tough question. I would say, push comes to shove, I would say, and by the way, it's 503-733-2970. For the love of God, now we have to do it. I would say KUFO. But it's tricky. I would say KUFO.
So, was he famous before, and then he just recently became famous again, or is it a new fame?
This is recent new fame.
New fame,
Canadian? He is new fame.
What is wrong with me?
I really don't know the answer to that.
It's very frustrating.
20 questions is like the simplest game on earth.
I told you I have problems with 20 questions.
Solo male performer.
From Canada.
New fame. All right, Scotty's screaming, Nicole. We'll have the listeners help you out in just a sec. We'll have the listeners be your mental training wheels for this.
I just don't know.
All right. Before I start...
What? No, he's not Canadian.
Before I start taking narrowing calls from the audience, do you have a final guess?
No.
Final? You don't have a final clarifying question?
I'm worthless.
It's true. David, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yes, Rick. Is he a short little man?
He is diminutive, yes.
I knew it. Oh, I know who it is. I won't say, though.
All right, thank you.
Damn it.
There you go. See, that's the best way to do it. Narrowing questions that don't actually tell you who it is. So, yes, he is a diminutive man.
So he's a short Canadian solo artist.
He is a shorter man, yes. Okay. I would say he's short in stature. Ken, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, I wanted to help Sarah here.
What is your question, sir?
The question is, was this person on a recent television program?
Yes, he was. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. That's Ken. Really, you've got everything you need. You have everything you need. He is a short Canadian, recently famous solo performer. If you can't put it together out of this...
I don't know.
Seriously, I mean, for the love of God and all that is holy, you have no idea.
On a TV show?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I don't watch TV anymore. I've just been watching Twin Peaks for like 2 weeks.
Rick, I'm just so sad and alone. You have nothing. Yeah, I'll tell you after the break. I can't tell you now. Well, because clearly no matter how many...
part of a band?
He has been in a band, yes.
He has been in a band, but now it's a solo thing.
He has been in a band. Now he is a solo performer.
On a TV show. Canada.
Short.
And short.
Recently famous.
Dude,
I'll guarantee you that like 90% of the people out there, they've already got it. They put it together.
Then why is it so difficult for me?
I don't know.
Why is it so hard for me?
Because that's the thing, it becomes a fascinating question.
It's a mental block.
All right, let me just take a few more here. Scotty, I'm just going to sort of take these unscreened. We'll just take these as they come in. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
Did we obsess over this show incessantly over the summer?
Yes, we did. Thank
then
you.
And I know who we're talking about, too, I think.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. There you go. That's cool.
Oh, okay. Wait. No, I don't know.
Oh, for the love of God. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
This is Greg.
Okay, how can I help you?
God, I got a question. Let's see. Was he, or does our mystery artist here have a Portland connection?
No. Well, I suppose a couple times removed.
Okay.
I mean, he has a couple degrees of a Portland connection. Yes.
All right, thank you.
Okay, bye.
Oh, wait. Do I get to guess now?
Yes. You can guess at any time.
Is it Lucas Rossi?
It is.
Oh!
It is, in fact. Isn't that anticlimactic and underwhelming?
I didn't know he was from Canada.
He's totally Canadian.
I thought he was still in that horrible band.
No.
Oh.
But that band doesn't even exist anymore. What are you, high? No.
It doesn't exist anymore? Oh, and just right now, Davey Nipples just finally writes Lucas Rossi.
Lucas Rossi will be playing
that. Guy was a dick to me when I met him in L.A.
Really?
Yeah.
He'll be playing at Rock and Roll Pizza. Well, you'll have your chance to go be an ass to him. He'll be playing at Rock and Roll Pizza in June, by
Are
the way.
Are we totally going?
Oh, we should totally.
We're going.
We should totally go for the opening act and then leave. We should. We should get
no,
like 100 people.
No, I think Lucas has always been nice to Storm. We shouldn't mess with him.
Really? Is that true? I thought he was in the ass column. All right.
Sad how quickly fame swallows you and spits you out.
I
just saw a picture of him making out with Tommy Lee like a week ago.
It was just last week that you were macking on Tommy Lee. I got this. This was sent to me by Susan Reynolds with the subject line, "How the Mighty Have Fallen." All right. Okay, this is Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. You stay right there.